Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 7. Etang vibhutim yogam cha mama yogaiti tattvatah sauvika upena yogena yujyate natha samshaya. One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mind engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. Purport. The highest summit of spiritual perfection is knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless one is firmly convinced of the different opulences of the Supreme Lord, he cannot engage in devotional service. Generally, people know that God is great, but they do not know in detail how God is great. Here are the details. If one knows factually how God is great, then naturally he becomes a surrendered soul and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord. When one factually knows the opulences of the Supreme, there is no alternative but to surrender to him. This factual knowledge can be known from the descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures. In the administration of this universe, there are many demigods distributed throughout the planetary system, and the chief of them are Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the four great Kumaras, and the other patriarchs. There are many forefathers of the population of the universe, and all of them are born of the Supreme Lord Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original forefather of all forefathers. These are some of the opulences of the Supreme Lord. When one is firmly convinced of him, he accepts Krishna with great faith and without any doubt, and engages in devotional service. All of this particular knowledge is required in order to increase one's interest in the loving devotional service of the Lord. One should not neglect to understand fully how great Krishna is, for by knowing the greatness of Krishna, one will be able to be fixed in sincere devotional service. Translation again. One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mine engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. Om Agyana Chirananda Saganandana Swagya Chakshanatasmanashri. As we have often said, a devotee lives for devotional service. After all is said and done, we must look at our life and see what is our attitude toward devotional service and how are our senses engaged in devotional service. It's not simply a situation of your having the right beliefs. Yes, now I'm a Krishna devotee, therefore I've accepted certain notions. Our church believes like this. No, the actual decisive factor is, how are your senses engaged? What are your senses doing? In your mind, you may believe so many things, but with your senses, you can simply be engaged in material life. That's why people think that religion is a belief. And people feel that they're very liberal. Okay, you believe whatever you want to believe. You believe whatever you want to believe. And let's just get on with the business of sense gratification. That's the real religion everyone agrees on, the sense gratification. You may have on your mind whatever you want to have. Christianity, Buddhism, skiing, surfing, whatever. Whatever, you know, unlocks your inner child. Whatever releases your, you know, locked up potential. Just do that. Whatever you call it, however you label it. So this is the real religion of today. Whatever you think makes you feel good, you owe it to yourself to do that. You have a responsibility to yourself to do what makes you feel good. That's the religion of today. Krishna is speaking about something else, of course, in Bhagavad Gita. He's talking about engagement in devotional service. This temple is a place to train people in service to the Supreme Lord. That means it's meant to train you how do you apply your senses. Because as you all know, if you don't apply your senses to devotional life, you're going to apply them to a material pursuit of sense gratification. Maharaj Ambarish in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam is given as the ideal example of someone who was scientifically expert in practicing bhakti yoga. He knew how to engage all his senses in the service of the Lord. Savai mana Krishna padaravindaya vacham shiva gunta gunarnivan. With his mind he always thought of Krishna. With his tongue he vibrated the glories of the Lord. With his ears he heard the glories of the Lord. With his nose he smelled flowers offered to the Lord, tulsi at the feet of the Lord. With his legs he would walk to the temple and to holy places. With his arms he would cleanse the Lord's temple. What else? Huh? With his head he would bow down before the Lord. And with his sense of touch, he would touch the bodies of devotees. And with his desires, he would always desire Krishna's pleasure. This is the full package of bhakti yoga. Material life has its full package for you. You all know what that's like. You are involved in a contest as to who's going to absorb your life. Krishna or Krishna's material energy. You can evaluate every day in that way, how you have been absorbed or not in Krishna's service. But the point is, you must be absorbed in something. Now, look at the results of what you've been absorbed in. The absorption in the illusory energy destroys you, although it looks very nice at first. The absorption in Krishna's service turns you into a divine person, as we discussed this morning. Daivi Sampad Vamokshaya. The more you accumulate divine qualities, the more the door to real liberation swings open. Real liberation is not simply moksha, or freedom from material existence. Real liberation is vimoksha. Special liberation. That means engagement in the devotional service of the Lord. The more you are engaged in Krishna's service, the more you are free from material influence. And it is material influence that is causing you all your problems. All your feelings of dissatisfaction, frustration, are coming from contact with the material energy. But when we are a little silly, we like to blame Krishna. I tried to engage in service, and then this happened and that happened. Somebody didn't appreciate me at the temple, or someone didn't give me the service I wanted to do, and I had to do something else. And isn't part of developing affection for Krishna our showing some tolerance? Those of you who are married, I always ask this question. How many of you have had a relationship in which you never had to tolerate? Never. Everything always went your way. Your husband or wife did exactly what you wanted. Anyone have a relationship like that? Always something to tolerate. Oh, well. Why can't we do that in Krishna's service? But because we're so proud, we'll humiliate ourselves for Maya, but for Krishna, we'll never tolerate anything. This is our problem. We're so willing to trust the material energy, but for Krishna, we're very skeptical. Gotta be careful about devotional service. When there are inconveniences and things to tolerate in the course of serving Krishna, you should take that as an opportunity to show your care, to show your desire to love Krishna. Because anyone can render service in pleasing circumstances. It's when things get a little difficult that you can really see who has devotion. Suppose you had the kind of husband or wife who, when times were nice, they always wanted to be around you. But as soon as you got sick, they go, well, it's a bit too much for me. I think you're going to have to go through this on your own. How would you like that? You wouldn't like that at all. You want to see that someone is ready to go through thick and thin for you. Then you're very happy, right? Why can't you do that for Krishna? Just take this one life and try to serve Krishna in a pleasing way. That's all. Look at what Arjuna and the Pandavas, Kunti and Draupadi have to go through. Even Bhishmadev, the great general, the greatest warrior, lifetime Brahmacharya, even he shed tears thinking of everything the Pandavas had to go through. Did the Pandavas ever blame Krishna? Look, we're your friends. What are you doing to us? Do you ever read that in Bhagavatam? Did Draupadi ever blame Krishna? What are you doing to my husband? You're supposed to be God and you're allowing us to go through all this. Did Kunti ever blame Krishna? Kunti's Krishna's aunt. She's the sister of Vasudeva, Krishna's father. Did she ever blame Krishna? Why did you let us go through all these things? No, in fact, her prayer was, Krishna, when we had difficulty, you were with us all the time. But now good times apparently are here, and you're leaving to go to Dwarka. Therefore, I say, let the miseries happen again and again, because then we'll have you. And if we have you, we'll no longer have repeated birth and death. This is the vision of a devotee. Completely different. We should consider devotional service our wealth. The more service you're able to do, the more wealthy you are. The more psychologically balanced you are. The more you're nourished in your inner self. And the less service that you have, the more poverty stricken your life is. But devotees should be very eager for the chance to serve Krishna. And don't expect that everything's going to go the way you want in the course of serving Krishna. Because Krishna is using the service to show you that love means dedication, perseverance, tolerance. Krishna uses devotional service to test you, to build your character. That's all part of becoming a full devotee. In this way, we should eagerly embrace service and all the learning opportunities that service provides us. We shouldn't develop a hesitant attitude. Oh well, I tried, but... In so many relationships, we can even see sometimes there's arguments between husband and wife, and they're wondering, how can we go on? But then they decide, oh, okay, let's work it out and try to go on. Why can't we do that for Krishna? Even there can be misunderstandings between devotees sometimes, misunderstandings in the temple. But why should we give up our devotional service? There should always be an intense desire for more service. Do as much as you can and then pray to Krishna for the ability to do more. The desire is what Krishna is watching for. And Krishna is always, he's also watching to see what you're holding back more than what you're giving. What you're giving is related to what you're holding back. This makes devotional service very exciting. We are becoming trained to be yogis in devotion. To be a yogi in devotion requires study, requires practice and training. So that's our whole life. The purpose of our whole life is how to be a yogi in devotion. It's the most exciting career. Nothing is as thrilling as devotional service. You've never found anything like it. Even during tough times, when you had to face some test in doing devotional service, or go through some trial, or even tribulation, you've never found anything in the material world like it. I don't care what kind of job you have, what kind of hobby you have, whatever. You've never found anything like devotional service. For building your character, for teaching you real love. That's why Krishna says with complete assurity in this verse, Etam vibhutim yogam cha mama yogeti takvata sovakalpena yogena yujite natra samshaya. One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mine engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. Krishna is saying, if you actually know what is God, then you'll render devotional service. If you actually understand the science of God. It's like in the beginning of the Krishna book, Prabhupada writes. Anyone who actually knows what is God will accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. If you actually know what is God. If you actually understand the opulences and mystic power of God, you'll understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you'll engage in Krishna's service. This is Krishna's assurity in this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the opulence of the Absolute. Our problems are because our lives are godless. No knowledge of God. We don't know how to feel the presence of God in our daily life. When you begin bhakti yoga, you're put in contact by hearing of the complete science of God. In this way, you become happy because you know what is the nature of the source of everything. The Bhagavatam in the first verse says, Janmadiyasyata. The absolute truth is that from which everything is emanating. The ultimate source. Someone who is sane and intelligent wants to find out the ultimate source of everything. Then your next question should be what? Is that ultimate source of everything dead or alive? What will the scientists say? They'll try to teach you that the ultimate source of everything is dead. From something dead comes life. And the Bhagavatam is teaching you the opposite. The ultimate source of everything is life. And from the supreme life comes other life, as well as dead matter. Just like, because you're living, your toenails are growing. Toenails, they're dead matter. They're growing because you're living. But when the spirit soul leaves your body, the toenails don't grow anymore. Your first quest, to find out the ultimate source of everything, Janmadiyasata. Second quest, what is the nature of that ultimate source? And the Bhagavatam answers, Janmadiyasata. Anvaya itaratas chartesu abhigya swara. The ultimate source of everything is abhigya, conscious, fully conscious, swara, independent. Even though so many things are coming from Krishna, he's not dependent on anything that comes from him. Krishna is always fully self-sufficient. Therefore, if you perform devotional service and connect to Krishna, you will become immune to artificial and unnecessary desires because you're connected to the self-sufficient Krishna. Krishna never needs to go outside of himself to enjoy. He has everything he needs. All his energies work for pleasing him. He doesn't have to endeavor for anything. He has multifarious potencies, parasya shakti, vidhaya, shriyate, and they accomplish his purposes. He doesn't have to labor like an ordinary entity. Simply by his desire, things are set into motion. In your fantasies, you'd like to do that. Just sit back and desire. Strawberries and cream. Does it appear? The most beautiful partner for me. Does it appear? No. A beautiful home with all the conveniences. Doesn't appear. Krishna can do that though. And he doesn't ever go outside of himself because everything is his energy. That is what it means to be God. Krishna is flawless in his enjoyment. In Dwarka, Narada Muni wanted to go see the opulence of Krishna. Because Narada Muni had heard that in Dwarka, Krishna has 16,108 wives. Narada Muni was wondering, how is Krishna maintaining 16,108 wives? I need to go see this. You all know how much trouble it is to maintain one wife. But Krishna has 16,108, each with her own palace, and each with her own Krishna. So Narada Muni wanted to see that. So he went into one palace, and as soon as Krishna saw him coming in, Krishna worshipped him, offered puja, washed his feet, put the water on his head. What did Krishna say to him? You are Bhagavan. Please order us. What can we do for you? The Supreme Personality of God is calling Narada Muni Bhagavan, the possessor of all outfits. Sometimes the word Bhagavan is used for devotees because by the power of Krishna, the devotee has opulence. But the devotee always understands that Krishna is the source of all the opulence. So, because Narada Muni is so powerful by his devotion, Krishna is calling Bhagavan. What can I do for you? This way, Krishna in his Dwarka Lila is showing how the saintly order is to be respected, how the saintly persons are to be treated. He worshipped Narada Muni. Narada Muni replied, what can you do for me? Just give me the skill for remembering you in all circumstances, that's all. So then Narada Muni left. And he went to another palace, and there he saw Krishna and Uddhava and another wife of Krishna. And Krishna acted like he had never seen Narada Muni before in the previous palace. This Krishna told Narada Muni the same thing. Performed puja, worship, asked, how can I engage in your service, Narada Muni? This time, Narada Muni didn't say anything. He just left. All right, this is Krishna's opulence. Palace after palace, Narada Muni went to and saw Krishna engaging in so many different activities. Playing chess, plotting war, making diplomacy, arranging for marriages, even putting on disguises and going out and spying on the citizens. Narada Muni went to palace after palace and saw Krishna engaged in all these different activities. Now, what's the secret of Dwarka? What's actually going on in Krishna's capital city? All of Krishna's activities are going on simultaneously even though each activity is meant for a different part of the day. But Narad Muni was allowed to see all the activities, the different activities at the same time, although they happen at different parts of the day. Krishna has morning activities, noon activities, afternoon activities. But in Narad Muni's tour of the palaces of Vrindavan, he saw all the activities going on at the same time. He went to one palace, in other words, and saw the morning activities. Then he went to another palace and saw the evening activities. This was Krishna's special mercy on Narada. And what else? Narada got to see all the different expansions of Krishna. But the residents of Dwarka could only see the Krishna in the palace of their neighborhood. They couldn't see the other Krishnas in the other palaces. Out of the 16,108 Krishnas who were with 16,108 wives, each resident of Dwarka only saw one Krishna with one wife. They couldn't see Krishna in all the other palaces by Krishna's yoga maya arrangement. But Narada Muni got that special privilege. He could see this opulence of the Lord in 16,008 palaces. That is why Krishna is saying here, if you're actually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of His, you will engage in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there's no doubt. You like famous people, you like powerful people, you like wealthy people. You become in awe when somebody famous or wealthy is in your presence, or you're in their presence. Now just think how much awe you feel in the presence of Krishna. I remember in New Zealand, their number one rugby player, who was a great menace to the Wallabies. What was his name? Charlene met him on Sankirtan. What was his name? Yeah, that guy. So, she was doing Sankirtan on the street in Wellington, and all of a sudden, you know, everyone's the street lit up, you know. Everyone was buzzing, shh, Jonah, Jonah, you know, chanting his holy name. And people were running into a bookshop, you know, to buy a calendar, you know, an all black calendar, and running out to get Jonah to sign it, you know, and. You know, opulence. People are attracted to that. So what did you do? She waited till he was going into his car, and you approached. She approached the car, just like a bubble-headed fan, you know. What did you say? Just to give her a demonstration. He was like, Jonah, you're the greatest. Everyone is thinking of you. And then she handed him a Bhagavad Gita, you know, hardcover Bhagavad Gita. He just got, you know, just handed over, you know, $50. And, you know. So, she was playing the part of someone who's attracted by material opulence, you know, and Jonah fell for it. And,
oh, okay. Yeah, I can read.
But everyone else, they were sincerely attracted to material opulence. Oh, it's him. Oh, our hero. Oh, the saint of the nation. They make people feel kind of lightheaded and giddy to be around, you know, famous persons. But who is more famous than Krishna? That's why Krishna says, if you actually know about him, you'll render devotional service. Therefore, hearing about Krishna is essential. When we stop hearing about Krishna, the service stops. In fact, unconsciously, we want to be in Maya, we don't want to hear about Krishna. We don't say it like that, though. We just don't show up in the temple. We don't open a book, but we believe in Krishna. Just don't want to hear about him. Because we know what will happen if we hear about him. We'll want to serve him. So we just stay in our little homes, believe in Krishna without hearing about him. And don't do much service. But that is not what Krishna asks for in Bhagavad Gita. He wants you to hear about him so you'll be inspired to render service. And by rendering that service, your love develops. And everyone wants perfect love. That is what your heart is missing. You want a perfect loving relationship. You'll only find that with Krishna. So when you hear about Krishna, you become convinced. He is the perfect lover. He can love me perfectly. I'll serve. And if you don't hear about Krishna, you lose your understanding of why you should render service. And that hearing about Krishna is more powerful in the association of devotees. Lord Kapiladeva says that. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido. The talks about Krishna become more powerful in the association of those who are dedicated to the Lord's service. In their association, the doorway to liberation from this world swings wide open, and the seed of bhakti grows. We should cling very tightly to the association of devotees so that we can relish the powerful talks about Godhead. And then we'll be very inspired to serve Krishna. And we'll want to see how all our senses are absorbed in Krishna's service. Any questions? You have to analyze your life and see how much service you have. What is your service attitude? Like I asked Donna, "Do you like to cook?"
"That's all right."
Told her, "No, that's not the kind of attitude she should have. She put her heart into it. She begged Krishna, please teach me how to love cooking. Make it so when I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking, I'm going to cook for Krishna today." You've gotten excited about things before in material life, right? Going to some concert or something. Going to some movie or something, right? It's amazing how we got excited over material things, but we refused to get excited about serving Krishna. No, it's just devotional service, you know. That's all. You gotta do it, otherwise you get repeated birth. No, the service is, it's non-different from Krishna. Through that service, you can even conquer Krishna. By devotion. So if you're smart, besides cultivating the holy name properly in your life, you will be very careful about rendering service to the Lord. You'll watch your attitude about service. As soon as you start taking service for granted, devotional service, been there, done that, then you know you're sinking. Don't let cynicism enter into your devotional attitude. Always have a fresh and alive attitude. Even sometimes there are inconveniences, upsets. Just take it as a chance to show your love for Krishna. Then Krishna consciousness will always be exciting for you. We don't want our older devotees shriveling up and getting wrinkled in devotional service. Yeah. We want them to have the fresh, youthful, evergreen attitude towards devotional service. Then you know everyone is healthy. So, any questions? You should all be concerned. How is the service attitude in this temple? Are we all contributing? The Shastra says, pranaya, artaya, jiva, vacha. You can give your life, give your wealth, give your words, give your intelligence. Everyone can give wonderfully to Krishna. Only then will you be happy. Who here has ever been happy being a miser? Everything for me. It seems like that's the way to happiness, isn't it? I've got so much money. Oh, I can spend it on me. But you find it's not, you're not happy that way. So then what's the next thing you think of? If I only had someone to spend the money on, right? Because you can't be happy spending it on yourself. Then you think, who's going to go to the movies with me, right? I remember in New York City, where I was a devotee, I was a music connoisseur. I used to go see all the best musical talent that people in other parts of the world would just dream of. I could just, see them very easily in New York City. But most of the time I was alone, and I would see these amazing concerts, and I would always think, oh, I wish someone was here with me to enjoy this moment. There's the laws of karma. You can't have it all. So even if you had everything for yourself, you're not satisfied. You're thinking, but someone else should be here with me to enjoy it. And then what happens when you have that person with you to enjoy something with? After a while you think, if only I didn't have you around. If only it could just be me alone. Is that the way it is? You always look at the opposite situation. When you're lonely, oh, if there's only someone here enjoying this movie or this concert with me, it's so great. I could relate, I could talk with that person about what's going on. Then when you finally get someone, gosh, I wish I was alone. I have to put up with you. This is the way material life is. You cannot be satisfied spending on yourself or serving yourself. And you can't be satisfied serving materially others. But you invest in devotional service, then you're satisfied. This we want everyone to experience. All right.
Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I feel the immediate, angry, hate, fear, or this is a very crazy change. What I make hate. This feeling.
What feeling?
Body.
What feeling?
Hate.
Of what?
So,
of what?
Someone. I'm in school or in jail.
Why?
I don't know.
What do you feel? What do you get happy about? When you're happy, what are you happy about?
And I outside of the city.
You're outside the city, yes.
Yes.
Then?
the rich man, no one is around.
No one's around, then you're happy. How does that feel? I'm happy. What do you do when you're in nature all alone?
No, don't make this that's my anxious a little bit small. This feeling, the change of it there, the hate of all the angry bias, what can I make against?
Sounds like you don't like people, do you?
No.
You want to get away from them, huh? You want to get away from people, yes?
Away.
You don't want to be around people.
Sometimes, yes.
Only sometimes. Not all the time. You don't want to be around people at every moment, right?
Yes.
Because they get in the way, they don't do what you want them to do. You understand? You get angry because the people don't do what you want them to do. You understand?
Yes.
Therefore, you're angry.
No.
Yes, that's the reason. You're on the bus, you're on the train, right? Because you don't like the people. What are you doing here? This is my bus, my train. I have important things to do. Are you doing something for me? No. Get out of here. Material life means envy. Envy? You know what this word? What language you speak? I forgot the word for envy. This is the disease of material life. Other people are taking what you want. That's why you're angry. They have what you want. Or they're stopping you from getting what you want. When you become Krishna conscious, then you'll be peaceful. Because you won't look to the material world to get what you need. Then you won't be angry anymore. Krishna will satisfy you. Just like in Switzerland. I know. I used to live in Switzerland, in Zurich. Everyone has so much money, but they're not happy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're miserable.
Really?
Right?
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
And the young people, they're taking drugs, shooting heroin. That shows you material life cannot satisfy. You should give up material life. You know what that means, give up?
Yes.
It's a waste of time.
Book knowledge, but this change, this be free out. This is
be free by chanting Hare Krishna. You know how to chant Hare Krishna?
Chant,
yes. Here you can learn how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Then you'll be free. Don't waste your life. You understand?
Waste.
Don't make your life foolish, useless. Don't understand. Speak German? Alles klar?
Yes.
You chant Hare Krishna and you'll understand what is spiritual life. How old are you? 22. Now is the time to start your Krishna consciousness. Okay. How many times have you come here?
1 week. Every day.
Okay. You continue doing like that. You're living here now in Perth? Or visiting? You come every day. Learn how to practice Krishna consciousness. Are you strong enough to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Swiss preaching. Are you strong enough to do that? Yeah. Ladies, any questions? I hope you're all thinking of some plan in your head, how you're going to improve your service attitude, do more service, be ever fresh in Krishna consciousness. It's exciting!